Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Rotoballer Radio Fantasy Baseball 2020 Preview Series right here on the Rotoballer YouTube channel. I'm your host, Anthony Aniano. Happy to be with you again, and hopefully you've been following all the shows right here at Rotoballer's YouTube channel and over at rotoballer.com. Check out everything there. Main page, premium package, expert chats. You know the routine. You know everything Rotoballer has for you there. Great content, lineup optimizers, you name it. All available. Use the promotional code ACES. Sign up for that premium package. Save yourself a little bit of money as well. SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 in the afternoon, a combination, Scott Angle, Real Talk Raf, Josh Hayes, and myself, bringing you all the best of Rotoballer Radio on SiriusXM, and obviously subscribe right here to the Rotoballer YouTube channel. Guys, you've seen a ton of content right here on the Rotoballer YouTube channel preparing for fantasy baseball. We've looked at sneaky stolen base options, some undervalued power hitters, undervalued starting pitchers, sources of strikeouts late in your draft. And now today, at the request of one of our YouTube watchers who hit me up and said, Anthony, can you do something taking a look at some second-year players? And I said, absolutely, let's have some fun with this. So we're looking at, are we looking at sophomore stars or some sophomore slumps from some big names back from the 2019 season? And guys, the sophomore slump is real. It exists. I mean, look at your National League MVP this year in year three, Cody Bellinger. Okay, what he did in his rookie year compared to his second year was a letdown. In 2017, he played in 132 games, 39 home runs, and hit .267. His sophomore year, 2018, plays 30 more games, plays a full season, home runs don't go down, 39 to 25. RBIs go down 97 to 76. Batting average drops 267 to 260. His wins above replacement goes from 4.0 to 3.6. Obviously, we see what happens in 2019. He rebounds. He wins MVP. He was an absolute monster for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Other players like Aaron Judge. Okay, 2017, he hits the 52 home runs. Two seasons combined since then, he has 54. Yes, I get it. He's been slowed by injury the last couple of years. But when you look at his wins above replacement over the last three, that rookie year is 8.3, 5.1, 4.6. And then you have Corey Seager of the Dodgers, 2016 rookie of the year. A wins above replacement of 6.9. He hit 26 homers and hit .308. Since then, he hasn't hit .300. Last year, he hit .282. He missed 2018 with injury. Okay, his WAR has gone from 6.9, like I said, to 3.3. Power has gone down 26, 22, and 19. So not uncommon for some rookies to keep going, right? Just to keep surging. Like Ronald Acuna, Rookie of the Year, and then you saw what he did last year. No slump. He was a second year, a sophomore star. Some guys go through some growing pains. Pitchers adjust. Players takes a little longer to adjust. Eventually they do. They stabilize. Whatever it may be. So I have six players here today I want to hit on. Some second-year guys. And we'll take a look at where I think they're going to go. And first up is Pete Alonso of the New York Mets. National League Rookie of the Year. Current ADP in the NFBC is at 30. Puts him right around round two, round three in a 12-team mixed league. I just took him in the third round of a Rotoballer team mock draft. So I was happy with that. But I'm also realistic in what I'm going to get out of Pete Alonso. And one of the numbers I like to look at is batting average on balls in play. Okay, Pete Alonso had a .280 batting average on balls in play. So it's not an outrageous number. So it gives me a little bit of hope with Alonso that his numbers are not skewed by some outlier type of number. Now, what's my reference point? Well, Tim Anderson led baseball in hitting last year with a .335 batting average. His batting average on balls in play was off the charts at .399. Okay, you need to see that a second, a third year before you can even think that that's even repeatable. You know, is that an outlier number that leads to an inflated batting average? Christian Yelich, who at .329 had a .355 batting average on balls in play. You know, those guys at over 400 BABIP, tough to repeat that. So I look at Alonso at .280 and I say, absolutely, that's a repeatable number. Okay, I have no qualms with that. A .941 on base plus slugging. Struck out 26% of the time at .358 on base percentage, at .260 batting average. All those numbers I find repeatable. The one that's not repeatable, in my opinion, no matter how big and strong you are, is 53 home runs. Okay? There's no, to me, Pete Alonso, what you saw last year is going to be essentially the best you're going to get. Is he going to be a .290 hitter? No. Is he going to hit 60, 65 home runs? No. So when I draft him in round three of a Rotoballer mock, I'm expecting 250, 260, and a decrease in home runs. Maybe 250, Batting average, maybe 40 home runs. As I need a sip of water, I apologize. There we go, little frog in my throat. But nonetheless, give me 40 home runs out of Pete Alonso, and I'm okay with that. It's kind of where I see him coming in, 40, 45. But the power's got to come back to earth a little bit. Who knows what the baseball is going to be like this year. Pitchers adjust. We know all of that. So let's see what happens with Alonso. I'm still okay with him in round three because he's still an elite power hitter. But again, I can't pencil projections in at 50-plus home runs. Just too high a number, something I don't see being repeatable. Number two, American League Rookie of the Year, Yordan Alvarez. In only 87 games, he had a monster. And I mean monster season. We know this, right? He hit 313, 27 homers, 78 RBIs, a 366 batting average and balls in play. An astronomically high number for a rookie. A number that scares me. An on-base percentage of 412. A very high number for a big power-hitting first baseman. So, you know, you look at the splits. And like Pete Alonso, I looked at his first half, second half splits. 280 in the first half, 235 in the second half. With Yordan Alvarez, I looked at his home and road splits. And again, you can't help but do that when you think about what the Astros have been caught doing in the offseason. Guy hit 349 at home last season. He hit 272 on the road. Do I see Yordan Alvarez hitting 313 again? No. Okay, when I look at that road split, that to me seems more realistic. When I look at that batting average on balls in play, 366 seems awfully high for a second-year player in only 87 games. So what do I expect from Yordan Alvarez? I expect the power to play. Give me 25 to 35 home runs in his sleep. He's too big not to. What I can expect is a 313 batting average. Okay, a 412 on-base percentage, tough to do for a young player to remain that disciplined with a 14% walk rate in year two. Now, his current ADP is at 38. Okay, that puts him round three, round four in a 12-team league. But realistically, Yordan Alvarez, I can't expect it. Give me 275, 30 home runs, yes. I can't draft him looking at a 300-plus batting average once again. Not with those splits and all the controversy surrounding the Astros. It's a prove-it season for not only Yordan Alvarez, but a lot of the Astro offensive players coming off what we found out this offseason. Number three, Aristides Aquino, Cincinnati Reds, 25 years old, in 56 games. Right, he took the league by storm. Now, he's older than some of these other players. Okay, current ADP, a little more realistic at 156 in the NFBC. He's a 13-rounder, but even then, I'm not touching him, guys. I'll be honest with you. First off, the Reds outfield has gotten very crowded. They've added players like Nicholas Castellanos and so forth. Okay, now here's what I don't like, and it's very simple. His August when he came up was off the charts. He had 320 with 14 home runs. But look at September, that second time through the league, everybody realized what he could do, and he hit 196 with five home runs. Now, he finished the year with 19 homers, a 303 batting average, and again, I'm sorry, a 19 homers and a 259 batting average, a 266 batting average on balls in play. But here's what I don't like, a 27% strikeout rate, limited playing time by the additions of the Cincinnati Reds this offseason, and I can't ignore that 196 batting average in the month of September. Second time through, teams figured him out. He did not adjust. So now what screams to me is, if the Reds truly believed in him, they wouldn't have made some of the additions they made, but they brought in Castellanos, other players, other offensive players. Aquino's going to be in a limited role this season. Not somebody I'm investing in round 13, just not something I could rely on. More veteran options out there for you. Guys like Edwin Encarnacion potentially will be sitting there at that point where, you know, back of the baseball card, favorite saying of mine, will be there to produce. Next up, Keiston, I'm going to mispronounce the name, I always do, Hiura of the Milwaukee Brewers, second baseman. Current ADP is at 43. He's going third and fourth round. But there's one number that screams to me that makes me nervous, and that is a 31% strikeout rate last season. With an even harder number to replicate, a 402 batting average on balls in play. He had a higher batting average on balls in play than Tim Anderson, than Christian Yelich. To me, that is a number that is going to be difficult, very difficult to replicate. Now, last year, he hit 303, had the 19 home runs, the 49 RBIs, the 938 OPS. Okay, but again, with a 402 BABIP, That elevates that .303 batting average. That bat pick comes back down to earth, settles into the 270s, 280s. You're not looking at a 300 hitter anymore. You multiply that with the 31% strikeout rate, which is just too high for me. I don't like it. Not in a third, fourth round pick. You want to get a cheap source of power around 17 who strikes out 30% of the time? I get it. Go for it. But I am not investing third, fourth round in a guy who strikes out over 30% of the time. Okay? And it stayed that way. It didn't decrease second half. It didn't say struggled early and then, you know, went to 26%. It was over 30% throughout the season, first and second half. An over-elevated batting average on balls in play. An extremely high strikeout rate tells me there's still a lot of growth for this kid to go through to be maintain an elite level hitter, okay? Now, in the minor leagues, he only struck out usually about 20% of the time. So that's my point, is there is hope, but it's going to take time for him to get that strikeout rate down. He settles in at 23, 24%. That batting average settles in, batting average in balls in play settles in at 340, okay? Now you're looking at real numbers. I look at numbers and I see some outliers there. The strikeout rate just too high. Batting average and balls in play, my opinion, just not repeatable for a 23-year-old second-year player, and thus not somebody I'm going to invest in round three or round four of my 12-team mixed league draft. Up next is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's currently going at an ADP of 57. Round four, round five. And for me, guys, this is a sign me up in round five. If he's there, I am all over him. Why? Batting average in balls in play was only 308. He hit 272. All right. Now, well, here's what I like. And here's the opposite of the kid from Milwaukee who struck out 31% of the time. Vlad Guerrero's approach screams repeatable. He only struck out 18% of the time. He walked 9% of the time. 15 homers, 69 RBIs. A 303 batting average on balls in play. A reasonable number. A number that can actually go up. And then you look at his splits, first half, second half. First half, he had 249 with 8 home runs. Second half, 293. Thank you, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Sitting there in round five, I am all over it. The fact that the kid from Milwaukee is going before Vladimir Guerrero, he's got an ADP of 43. Vlad is at 57. Craziness to me. Maybe screams a little bit to the thinness of the second base position. But nonetheless, Keiston has just too many numbers that are too high and not repeatable. While Guerrero's right where I want him to be for a young player at 20 years old to only strike out 18% of the time, okay, to have a 293 batting average in the second half and a 308 batting average on balls in play, everything is repeatable. I expect the power to increase. He'll be at least 25 home runs. He is a great buy at ADP 57, round four, round five. And along those same lines is Eloy Jimenez of the Chicago White Sox. Going one pick before Vladimir Guerrero at 56 in the NFBC. A 267 batting average. Now, the strikeout rate is high. It's 27%. But he's more of a masher than Vladimir Guerrero, who projects to be a more complete hitter at the major league level. And he 31 home runs, 79 RBIs. But that batting average in balls in play, 308, a repeatable number. Okay? Keep that in mind, an 828 OPS. Now, his first half, he had 241 with 16 home runs. A normal first half for a 23-year-old rookie in Major League Baseball. But what do I want? I want progression. In the second half, he hit 292. And in the month of September, he hit 340 with 9 home runs, did Eloy Jimenez. His season got better and better and better throughout his rookie year. He made his adjustments throughout the season. He's ready for a big year, too, as the White Sox continue their youth movement. So going through this, who do I love? I love Vladimir. I love Eloy. Pete Alonso should be able to come close to repeating that number. That batting average power should decline a little bit, but I'm still a 40-plus home run guy. Yordan Alvarez, I expect him to struggle. Aquino, I expect him to struggle. Keiston Herrera, the young second baseman from the Milwaukee Brewers, whose last name I keep butchering, I apologize. But nonetheless, I don't expect him to hit that 303 again. Just not repeatable to repeat that 402 batting average on balls in play. All right, everybody, thanks for finding the time to watch the show here again today. Stay tuned each and every week. We'll come out with more great content courtesy of rotoballer.com. Follow me on Twitter at AAnnieAnnoFantasy. Have a good one, folks.